Welcome to Sharing Plate, a podcast all about food and the role it plays in our sense of self, our sense of place, and of course, our sense of taste. I'm Laura Bishop, and I'll be hosting guests from around the world as they share their plates that connect them to home, wherever that may be, to their people, whoever they are, and to their own special memories. This is a foodie's journey that transcends generations and nations. So please, come sit with us as we serve up recipes and stories.
The first breakfast I had in the UK was bread with butter and jam. They gave me the bread in the hand, and then they gave me like little butter blocks, jam blocks too, and I was like, what should I do with this? I didn't know at the beginning that British people put butter and then the jam. I used to eat just the butter bread or jam bread.
So my guest today is bringing us a whole different continent to where we've been so far.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited for the journey that this is going to bring. I'm handing over to you. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell us a bit about you?
Hello, my name is Mauricio Eduardo Sanchez. Most of my friends call me Eduardo. I'm from El Salvador, Central America, and there are seven countries, Guatemala, Honduras, and in the middle of those two, there is a little tiny country that is called El Salvador. That's where I am from.
I am a huge lover of Central American food, so go straight in. What dish are we having first?
Okay, so I know that you went to Central America. Well, you've been to Belize, right?
I've been to Belize, yes.
Yeah, so you know that I'm going to start with something really basic of most of Latin American people, that is beans and rice.
Beans and rice.
I know that even you told me when you came back from Belize that you had a lot of beans and rice. So breakfast, the most classic breakfast, for example, in my country, is beans and rice. You mix it, and then you go a couple of eggs. And then you go cheese, bread, and then sometimes we add cream to the beans and rice.
Ooh.
Sometimes as well, we don't put the rice and beans, we just put the beans and then the rest of the stuff. That's like a classic breakfast in my country. Like, you know that the British breakfast?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's my national breakfast.
So what kind of beans? Are we talking red kidney beans?
Yeah, so sometimes we, how you say it? You grind the beans. You ground the beans
into a paste.
Yes, and you put in the fry pan. You fry them with butter or oil, and then you put in a little bit in the. It's a bit watery, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you put it in the plate, and then around there the rest of the things like bread, French bread, specific
French bread.
French bread.
That's interesting.
French bread is amazing.
So who does this breakfast remind you of?
So I grew up with my grandparents. So my grandma used to make the breakfast while my grandpa was helping me to have a shower before I got to school and things like that. I love my grandma's food. My grandma's food is, for me, is the amazing food that I think is one of the things that I most miss, but...
You really miss your grandma's food.
I miss my grandma's food, yeah.
And so you grew up with your grandparents. Why did you grow up with them?
So basically, my father, for situation of security in my country, he has to move to other place. My grandparents and my father, they considered that it was better that I could stay with my grandparents. My parents, they split when I was a baby. So my grandma left me with my father. So when my father... had to move.
So your mom left you with your dad?
Yeah.
And then your dad had to leave the country or the area?
Just the area
because of security.
Yeah, exactly. And then I just grew up with my aunties and my grandparents. That was lovely. I just grew up with women. And then I had to play with the dolls. So they could play
that.
Football with me then.
Yeah.
So I had to play those with them, with my cousin first. And then
great, that's brilliant.
Because all my aunties and then I got cousins and everyone is just females. And then
I love that.
The men in the house were just my grandpa and me. And the boss of the house was my grandma. And that's it. That's the food. The most classic breakfast in my country. Even here, I still have that breakfast sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah. But I just miss the bread, the French bread, because yeah. It's not the same. And one thing about Latin American countries is that we always have breakfast, French bread. Lunch, we have tortilla with the food. And then at dinner, we can have tortilla or French bread. That's why when I came here, it was like they gave me the food and it's like, what is the bread or what is the tortilla? Because here in the UK, you don't eat like that, right? So most of the Latin American people, it's always like tortilla needs to be there.
So so what was your first memory of breakfast in the UK?
The first breakfast I had in the UK was bread with butter and jam.
Okay, and how did that feel?
They gave me the bread in the hand, and then they gave me like little butter blocks, and then they gave me like little jam blocks too, and I was like, what should I do with this? What should I do with this? And then, okay, what is this? That's breakfast. Okay. And then that was the first day. Then the second day, they gave me bread and cereal and milk. And I was like, okay. So
what do I do with this?
Yeah, but I didn't know at the beginning that British people put butter and then the jam.
Yeah.
I used to eat just butter bread or jam bread. It was like really weird. Like, where are my eggs?
Yeah. So would you have eggs for breakfast every time in El Salvador?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never get bored of that. And then rice.
Eggs is quite a big breakfast thing here.
But now we go something else in my country. We go back to food about breakfast.
Yeah.
That is the most traditional food, even pre-tried, by the way, and he allow it. It's pupusas.
Pupusas. Okay, this is another dish.
Pupusas.
Talk to me about pupusas.
Pupusas is tortilla.
Okay.
Corn.
So you grind the corn.
Yeah.
And then you make a dough out of it.
Yeah, so you... And then you put some cheese and beans. That's like the classic ones, cheese and beans. And then there is one that is just cheese. And then there is another one that is, in Spanish, it's called chicharrón. That is pork rinds.
Pork rind, yeah.
Pork rind, sorry. And then you... We call it...
Don't apologise, by the way. This is your second language that we're having this conversation with. Oh,
thank you.
And when I met you 3 years ago, you did not speak a word of English.
Thank you. So we call it revueltas, the ones with pork, because they go pork, cheese and beans.
So you put all the ingredients into a tortilla. You then kind of clasp it up almost into like a little... Like a pouch,
exactly,
right? And
yeah.
then you seal it up and then you flatten it down
exactly.
And then you cook it.
Yeah, and then you put it in the pan. Yeah, in the pan.
I mean, that sounds like my kind of breakfast.
So we have that. That is kind of for breakfast and our dinner too. And I invite you all that is listening to try it. You're honestly going to love it. So I just wanted to share it. Everyone that is away from El Salvador, we miss pupusas.
So Eduardo, you've alluded to security in your country and that's why you had to leave.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about... how it felt to have to leave?
It felt awful. I was in university. I was studying business, marketing international, we call it there. I had a scholarship. I was just finishing the first year of university when I had to leave. So it felt like I left, like, I finished my life like, don't know, like I had to start again.
From scratch?
Yeah, like you had everything there. I wasn't a rich person. I never knew how it felt to have money, but thanks God I always have my food in my table and that was enough. I always have a roof over my head, a place where I could sleep, and that was okay for me. I was studying because I had a dream and then I wanted to be something else and, you know, you go all everything, those plans that you do without expecting that one day everything is going to stop because you have to leave. So leave everything that you know and come to a new place that you don't know. Absolutely nothing, different food, tradition, language, everything. Even the cars driving a different place is just like, you know, it's like big change. The other face of the coin. Never thought that it was going to happen. But it just, things that happen and I just accepted it. And then I just saw it like a new opportunity. Like, I had my dreams, so now I just need to change my dreams. And then... try to start again and then don't give up and then fight for what I want. It's not the end. I got a new opportunity still, so just to keep going.
So you've touched upon your grandmother and your grandfather. How did it feel to have to leave them?
Oh, my grandma, she didn't want to drop me to the airport. She didn't want to go to the airport because when I was leaving my country, I don't leave saying that I'm coming here to claim asylum, right? Because if I say that, they won't let me go. So we say bye in the house, and my grandpa as well. He told me I don't want to be there either. So no, my grandparents just tell me I say bye to them in the house. My grandma is she's always like being a strong woman. Everything that I know and everything that it helped me to survive in London is just thanks to what she told me. So she always was like a strong. She tried to don't cry. She tried to don't cry, and then when she sent me back, she didn't cry at all. And then when I was in the airport, I called her and said, I'm in the airport. And then she was crying. It was hard to have to tell them bye, and then you go leaving everything behind. Yeah, it's just...
And how did you feel at the airport?
You know, she told me, be strong, okay? You can do this. It's going to be difficult, but just be strong. I just, in my mind, I always say, I'm just going to trouble. It was my first time going into a plane, by the way. I was nervous, of course, but I say, I'm just going to trouble because I had to say that I was going to trouble in the airport. So I'm just going for holidays, and that was in my mind. And then when I got to Spain, I just did 2 hours stop over there. Didn't go out of the airport at all. I just waited there in the airport. And then I go into the plane from Spain to the UK. Then is when, I don't know, I felt like a punch in the face. And it's like, now everything is starting. And it's when I cry, but I didn't want to cry in the plane or nothing. So I just went to the toilet in the plane and I just cry. I landed in the UK and then I didn't know where to go. Everything is in English. There is nothing in Spanish. So I was just following everyone. And then I got to the place where they asked you for the passport and everything. The woman didn't understand me and I just told her what I wanted in Spanish, but she didn't understand. So she brought someone to translate. Then I told her I want asylum. And then they brought me to like a little jail in the airport. It's okay. It's not bad. It's not. There I cry all the time. Like, I left everything. Don't know what's going to happen. Because you're just there without knowing what's going to happen. It was like 10 hours traveling. I didn't eat nothing at all. The food in the plane is it's no good. But I was nervous. I wasn't feeling hungry at all. And I remember, I never will forget this Asian guy that was there. Oh, he's shaking everyone in the room. So he came. He brought me a blanket and a pillow. He told me, you have to eat. So I wasn't feeling hungry. I said, just no. And then he came and he brought me a soup. I remember that I ate it, but I didn't feel any taste at all. I didn't. And then I was still there without knowing what's going to happen. It went hours. I landed in the airport at 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I was there until 1 a.m. to the next day.
What was going through your mind when you were lying on that bench and sitting in that room?
So it's like, what if I did all this because it's a spend of money and then they send me back? I cannot go back to my country. If I go back, they're going to kill me. When I say they, you know, when you read about my country, you know that there are guns and things like that. So I say, what is going to happen now? They asked me questions. I left at 1 a.m. They brought me to a hotel in London. And then there was Wi-Fi there, and then I called by WhatsApp to my family, and I told them, I'm okay.
What was that phone call like with your family?
It was like a big relief for them, and for me too, just to hear them, and then, yeah.
And then we heard about your first breakfast in the hotel already.
And then, yeah, we heard about my first breakfast.
So what were those first few hours like, first few days like in the hotel?
So it was pandemic, so 14 days in the room.
And what happens when you get out?
Didn't know where to go. I just remember that I just went out of the hotel. I checked outside. It was really cold. I went back.
I bet it was a bit of a shock to the system, the cold here, compared to
home. Of course. We don't have a cold like that in my country. So I just, that's it. I stood up outside from the hotel. I check everything. Woohoo, I'm in London now. What do I do? I just went back to the room.
Now, we've talked about your grandparents a lot here, and you mentioned there's another dish that reminds you of your grandfather. So should we go on to that one next?
Yeah, that one is called chuco.
Chuco.
Chuco. Fermented corn.
Okay, fermented corn.
Fermented corn.
Okay.
But it's like quite brown. Like, it's like most like a drink. And then they put beans, always beans. And then you put a chili if you like.
Oh,
and
lovely.
Then how you eat it and drink it is with French bread.
Oh, so you just dip it in and...
Yeah, the French bread.
That
and
sounds
you...
lovely.
Yeah. So it reminds me to my grandpa because I remember that when I was a kid, and most of the time we used to go to this place where you can get a chuco. We used to get one for each because my grandpa every Sunday used to take me to a park. So before to go to the park, we used to go to have chuco, have our bread, sit on the street. That's it. So I used to sit there with my grandpa, have our chuco, and then we used to go to the park. So that food reminds me to him.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a really lovely memory to have of that. And a delicious, delicious dish by the sounds of things.
Yeah.
So outside of the hotel, what was your first memory of food here?
Chicken and chips.
Chicken and chips.
So I came to London with a little money. I changed it to pounds, and then in the hotel you don't have a kitchen, so you cannot cook nothing. So I just needed to find food that was ready to eat.
Yeah,
yeah. So you can find in every corner a chicken and chips place.
Yeah.
So just exactly in the corner of the hotel where I was, there was a chicken and chip place.
So your first food memory of England is chicken and chips. Oh
yes.
My goodness, we've not done well, have we? Especially when you've come from all of these other Latin American foods.
But for me, in that moment, that was the most delicious chicken and chips I had after being having bread and butter and all the kind of food.
And basic foods in there as well.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was like gold.
Your journey in London, what kind of foods have you come across now?
Well, we go fish and chips, of course, a roast dinner.
Yep.
I learn about different kind of food here, like vegetarian, vegan, pescatarian, and the people that eat halal food. In my country, we don't have none of those.
No.
Four.
You eat what you're given, and tough if you don't.
Yes,
yeah.
And you eat meat, and you love meat.
Okay, so what's up next? Where are we going next?
So we go a really traditional lunch in my country that is sopa de frijoles.
Sopa de
bean
frijoles.
Soup. You try it. Not my the best that I made that time, but
it was delicious.
Well, I tried my best.
Yeah.
Bean
Tell
soup.
Me about it.
So red kidney beans, you boil them, then we add some ribs from
ribs,
the beef.
Yep, beef ribs.
And we add some yuca. Do you know what's yuca?
Yuca.
Yuca.
Yes.
Do you know what's yuca?
Yes.
And so it boils until the meat is ready and the beans are ready. Mm. It takes really long. And then with this, at the end, we put some avocado, egg, and of course it has to be cream or cheese.
I've had this dish and it was really delicious. It's like a bit like a poke bowl because you have like the rice, you have the beans, you have the avocado, and then yeah, the cheese and the cream. And the short rib goes into the beans. It's really delicious.
So it's mixed with that. Oh, and on the side, we made the rice, and then we just put it on top of the soup.
Who does that remind you of?
My grandma.
Oh, yeah. Always comes back to your grandma.
Yeah, always comes to my... I'm not a good cooker, but what I learned to cook from her, the bit that I know. She always used to cook at home. She's an amazing cooker, so she used to make all this food. And then we used to have it when the family used to come, because you make it like a lot. So the family used to meet in my house, all the family. And
are they still all there?
Some of them.
Some of them.
But mostly just my grandparents and my dad that are still in my country.
So everyone else has had to leave.
Yeah. So my grandma used to make the food for everyone. And then you sit on the table and then you wait that everyone is served. You don't eat yet. You wait until everyone is served. When she sits with us, and she has her food as well set there, ready to eat. then we can eat.
That's how it should be. You should wait till everyone's seated at a table and then you eat.
And then the rest, good luck cleaning.
and do you do all the cleaning?
Yeah. Sometimes when I was a kid and then I used to finish my food, I used to put my plate in the sink, and then my grandma used to come and tell me, what are you waiting for?
Who do you think is going to clean that up?
Yeah, you have someone that is going to clean it for you? Go and clean it.
It's a good skill to have, cleaning up after yourself.
And they go, yeah.
You were in the hotel.
Okay.
For how long?
What? Exactly 1 year. After I didn't know what to do when I came out of the hotel, I learned, like, to do things. I got to know London. I got to know people from church and everything. And then one day I got a letter that was saying I needed to go to Portsmouth, so I didn't want to leave. So I stayed with a friend. I met him playing football, then...
Football at the church, yeah?
Yeah. He invited me to go to the Tottenham Stadium, so I became a really good friend with him. And then I was going to be sent to Portsmouth on January, and on Christmas, December before... He invited me to his house to have dinner. I met his wife. The wife had idea to, why don't you stay with us? And they did all the process with the home office, and they helped me. Yeah, if it's not for them,
that's amazing.
I wouldn't be in London right now. And then okay, I have been 1 year in the UK. I was able to request a work permit already, so of course I requested a work permit. I was able to work. I work as a carer.
So a carer is on the critical shortage list because we don't have enough of them.
Yeah.
And anyone from outside of the UK or claiming asylum in the UK can apply to get that dispensation to work. So you did that straight away, and as soon as you were eligible, which is after a year, and then...
I never thought I was going to be a carer in my life. Never.
So now you're working full-time.
Yeah.
But you're still waiting for your decision.
Yes. The only thing that they pay for me is the lawyer. I never thought I was going to be a carer. And, you know, at the beginning I was like, I don't want to be a carer. But it's what helped me to eat. It's what helped me to pay the place where I'm living.
Gives you your independence.
I'm independent at all, so it
pays for your gym membership.
Pay for my gym memberships,
because when we met you were a tiny little skinny thing.
Pay for my gym membership, pay for my clothes and then food if I want to go out and things like that, so I don't complain. At the end, I like the job. I really like to help the people there. You know, you get to understand a lot, and then you really learn to appreciate life when you see people in really bad conditions. So that's one of the things that always give me strength, like in the bad moments that came when you live your life and everything. Like, I see people, they are really in bad condition, but I still go an opportunity to go. So why should I be complaining? And even that people that is in really in those bad conditions, they tell me... They happy still. They don't give up. They fight for their life. You know, they are sick, but they keep fighting. They don't stop believing. So at the end, I love that job. You know, I love that job. It's not, I cannot tell you it's my dream job, but I love it. I love it.
Have we got any more dishes coming?
Okay, I say four already. So I got yours. One more.
Great.
Tamales de elote.
Tamales. I love tamales.
It's corn.
But lots of corn in
lots
dishes.
Of corn, yeah. Lots of corn, beans and rice. So they do the ground.
Ground the corn,
Ground the corn. So sometimes they add milk, sometimes they don't.
So it makes it corn dough,
Corn dough. And they put it in a big pan.
Mm-hmm.
And then they boil it. So when it comes out, it's a really... soft and sweet taste.
Okay.
And a bit salty. That one, sometimes you have it for dinner and we go left, we put it in the freezer, and then in the morning we put it in the pan and we fry it. If you ask a Salvadorian person, they're gonna tell you they love it. So we fry the tamal and then we add some cream on top.
There's lots of cream in your dishes as well, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, I love cream. I'm in
for it. But there is no cream like that here.
Oh. So what's your cheese. Memories of that dish?
The memory of that dish is my father.
Your dad, okay.
Yeah, my dad.
Talk to us about your dad, because we haven't really touched on him. Obviously, he had to leave you when you were younger. Was he able to come back and see you?
Or? Yeah, so when I was 12, I went to live with him.
Okay. So it was safe enough for him to come back then?
12 to 18, okay. I went to live with him.
But he was gone for 12 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Then I went to live with him. So he used to get me these tamales.
Okay.
I know you love them. And then he used to bring them after work. So just remind me to him.
So tell me, how often do you speak to your family at home?
Twice a week. I would like to talk more with them. But mostly I talk with my grandma. But I'm busy all the time. But of course, I always make sure that I call my grandma and I say, how you doing? Do you need anything? You fine? How is everything over there? Yeah, like twice a week.
So talk to me about your hopes for the future, Eduardo.
Oh, okay. Hopes on the future. Would like to... I'm still waiting my documents. Yeah. Okay. 2 years and a half and I'm still waiting. I got refused once. And then we're appealing and we're going to try again. I would like to be a personal trainer. I actually training for be a kickboxer.
Oh yeah, that's great.
So I've been training that for about 7 months. I would like to study for being a nutritionist.
Amazing.
So those are the plans for the future, apart from getting the documents. So yeah, and I'm working on that.
Good for you. The future's bright, Eduardo.
Yeah.
Sharing Plate is a What's Where Media production and is presented by Lara Bishop. Thank you for listening.
If you've enjoyed listening to Sharing Plate, please help us out. Like it, follow us, share it, and tell a friend.